Hello, respected viewers. A few days ago, Paddy Hill died. Mr. Hill died at the age of 80 in Ayrshire, North Britain. So Paddy Hill was notable for having spent 17 years in prison for a crime that he did not commit. He's one of a group known as the Birmingham Six. So Paddy Hill was from Belfast. And I read his autobiography, and one, I think, is Protestant as father's side, Catholic as mother's side, brought up within Catholicism, somewhat nationalist, not very political. He was a painter and decorator, if I remember correctly. He moved to Birmingham in the 60s. Then the Troubles exploded in 1969, literally, and it came to England as well. So the Irish Republican Army, a terrorist organization, setting off bombs, civilian targets all over England, never Wales or Scotland, loyalist terrorists murdering Catholic civilians in Northern Ireland and so on. The security forces trying to battle against the IRA, INLA, and their loyalist equivalents, the UVF, the UFF, and so on, a real alphabet soup of organizations. So the situation is so good in Northern Ireland that looking back over half a century, it's hard to remember just how horrendous it was. Like 1972, about 500 people killed in the Troubles, 500 people. Bear in mind, the population of Northern Ireland was 1.5 million at the time. Most of those were slain in Northern Ireland, not the Republic, not Great Britain. Anyway, Paddy Hill, he knew an Irishman in Birmingham who was killed trying to set off a bomb in Coventry. The man's body, it was in McDade, I think, was brought back to Belfast for a funeral. So feeling was really running high because so many people were killed every day. Gun battles between the British Army and IRA, and then the loyalist terrorists murdering Catholic men at random and so on. The Republican terrorists also involved in sectarian violence, so forth. Security forces sometimes killing civilians. So a lot of people were furious wherever you stood politically. But anyway, Paddy Hill and his friends made the fateful decision to go to Belfast for McDade's funeral. I don't know if they approved of what he tried to do, set up a bomb in Coventry. It possibly be okay, even though we're against that, nevertheless, there was a good side to him. A bit like the Prince Andrew argument with regarding Jeffrey Epstein. Yes, he committed a crime, was punished it for it, but there was still a good side to his personality. Recognize that. So just after those bombs went off in November 1974, he's traveling back to Belfast when they're stopped by the police. And they agreed to go to the police station voluntarily. That ought to have counted in their favor, but they chose not to disclose to the police their reason for revisiting Belfast. Now, in their position, I wouldn't have done either because that would draw even more suspicion on them. So are you an IRA supporter then? Put yourself in the police's position. You know, somebody set off a bomb in Birmingham, presumably someone of the IRA. If you're an Irish Catholic in Birmingham, there's a chance you're an IRA supporter. You might be against, you might be neutral and so on, but it's not going to be the Chinese community. It's not going to be for the Pakistani community. Now, obviously, we shouldn't be mistreated for being Irish Catholics, nationalists or not. Paddy Hill, seen to have a nationalist outlook, would like Northern Ireland to leave the United Kingdom to be absorbed into the Republic of Ireland, which is completely legitimate. Obviously, you're allowed to campaign for that. That's totally lawful. But anyway, so then interrogated by the police decided it was them and various forensic tests done at their hand. I think it's the Grice test. And Frank Skuse was the expert behind it. And Paddy Hill's one of those whose hands tested positive for handling explosives. Several of those tested negative. But apparently the chemicals that could be explosives could also be from playing cards. Mr. Hill and his friends, they said they were beaten up by the police. He had a gun shoved in his mouth and so on. And some years later, the police officers or prison officers were charged with beating them up, but all found not guilty. Anyway, he was in court and they clearly had bruises on their faces. So were they beaten up by the police and or prison officers? Or did they fight amongst themselves? There was the argument this was self-inflicted to create an alibi that we only made these confessions because we were tortured, or was it other prisoners attacked them? Anyway, it's not proven, but one slice of Occam's razor say is more likely, the most credible explanation is that the police hit them, because anecdotally, the police sometimes did this if someone was suspected of a serious crime. Until the 1980s, the police in the United Kingdom doing this, the Police and Criminal Evidence Act came in 1984, put a stop to that sort of thing. I'm not saying every police officer did this, or indeed most of them did it, but there is considerable evidence that it happened. It was not uncommon if someone was suspected of a major crime. Well, Now, that would have been against the law at the time, because there's laws against assault and battery and so forth. Anyway, they subsequently retracted their confessions, but they're nevertheless they're found guilty, given 21 life sentences. Remember, the death penalty had only been stopped in 1970, and there was a clamour to reintroduce it. So Mr. Hill, he was then, well, we now realise, calumniated by the tabloid press. But of course, people believe they were guilty. Remember watching that documentary, Who Bombed Birmingham, in about 1990, and someone saying, well, I know it seems terrible what the police doing this, so the police believe that these guys set off a bomb and killed 21 people, wounded dozens more. On the other hand, Mr. Hill says, the police said, we've had orders from the top. We know you didn't do it, but we've got to get results. And that's a problem with demagogic politicians promising the public that they will convict people, and you can't guarantee you'll catch people. Another absolute low-life scumbag on this issue is Tony Blair, after the Omagh bomb, vowing that the murderers would be apprehended, and they've never been caught. So you can't be sure they will be caught. They you might never find out who they are. You might more or less know who they are, but not be able to prove it. They might die before a trial. So no, you just can't do that. And then the police sometimes have their arm twisted by politicians to fabricate evidence where it doesn't exist. And obviously the police got to be strong enough to stand up to that. Anyway, so there was campaigning. Chris Mullen, a Labour MP, morally courageously stood up for them. And of course, then he was blackguarded, saying, ooh, you're pro-IRA, you're taking the side of terrorists against innocent people. And the various appeals, there's the Criminal Cases Review Commission, Douglas Hurd was the Home Secretary, allowed it to go to the next stage. And so there was some political element in it in those days. It's been taken out now. They lost a couple of appeals. Mattel Kenny against, was it Chief Constable of the West Midlands? And they had their fourth appeal, if I'm correct, because usually allowed only two appeals, one on the basis of the law, one on the basis of the facts. Anyway, their convictions were unsafe. Skous said this was 99% certain they'd been handling explosives. There was another scientific expert who said, no, it's doubtful. The court tended to believe what Mr. Skous said. There was going to be a legal action against him. Sir James Goldsmith, the business maven, took his side, was going to fund Skous's defense. Anyway, the convictions were ruled unsafe in 1991, and they're all set free. They all call for peace. Now, Mr. Hill, not surprisingly, felt quite rancorous because he'd had 17 years of his youth taken away. He later got a payout of about £1 million, but he could never ever get a single back day of his youth back. And so he lived in Scotland the rest of his life. Of the Birmingham Six, I believe two of them have subsequently died of natural causes. One came from Derry, the others came from Belfast. That's it. And this is part of this miscarriage of justice organization. But it's got to remind us of the dangers of being stampeded into watering down the presumption of innocence. And I see various demagogic movements at the moment, various scumbag politicians, particularly the feminazi, saying, take away the presumption of innocence in rape. We've already reversed the burden of proof. It's got to be on the accused to somehow prove his innocence. How could you prove a negative that he established consent and blah, blah, blah? And we know this will definitely lead to wrongful convictions. We know there was the Birmingham Six, there's the Maguire Four, Guildford Four, and there's the Maguire Seven. So that is that 17 people already. Now, admittedly, in the Northern Ireland Troubles, over 10,000 people were convicted of crimes, some of them quite minor, like riotous assembly or a fray or whatever. So 17 wrongful convictions. I don't know of any more. There might be some more, but you know, that's still well under 1%. That's more like 0.17%. I was rather the wrongful conviction rate was 0.0%. But the only way to be absolutely certain that nobody will ever be wrongfully convicted is to acquit everyone, no matter how absolutely irrefragable the evidence, even if he or she pleads guilty. So if there is going to be a system of justice with workability, then people are going to be convicted when there's still a penumbral doubt. And inevitably, in every country, there are innocent people in prison who've been found guilty of crimes that they did not commit. And some people say, well, that's a price to be paid, you know, unfortunately. But what if it was you? What if it's you the one who got the life sentence for a crime you didn't commit? Would you agree to it then and say, okay, I'll accept that I'm that rogue result, I'm that unfortunate datum, but it's worth it, me, an innocent person serving time, maybe being executed, because it keeps crime down generally. So I don't know of anyone who would agree to such a bargain. So that is Paddy Hill, who did right as he saw it, who drew attention to important issues. Goodness. So that's it. So attempts to reduce the presumption of innocence to wait trials even towards the prosecution than they already are wrong. There was also prosecutorial misconduct in this case. There was the concealment of evidence because of its utility to the defense. And of course, in the rules of evidence, they've got to have full disclosure. Both sides see everything, and so on. Okay, well, thank you for watching my video. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then in PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.